Welcome to Mission Possible You. This uplifting podcast delivers inspiration directly sprinkled into your ears. Fresh, crisp, new insights downloaded into your mind, leaving your body feeling replenished and energized. Lynn McDonald, the Mind Lady, is your host for Mission Possible You. She is obsessed about helping people from the inside out live and breathe the life they so desire and deserve better than imagined. Now, your guide for this journey of introspection, Lynn McDonald. Once again, welcome to Mission Possible You. I am your transformational coach and host for the next 20 to 25 minutes. So lots of big buzzing here, feeling the energy grow really, really big here. We have Ryan Bradley with us today, a superstar. He's a phenomenal author, writer. He's a pastor, coach right now, and he does coach. He's a dad, a hubby, right? A son, a friend, a little bit of everything. He's an amazing guy. And this show is literally why I bring people like Ryan here to our listeners, because his story is unbelievable. Whoops. And it will totally knock your socks off here. So listen up really, really well. And my intention for you listeners is definitely to gain some insight, to go deep here within the next 20 minutes within. And you will uncover things about yourself that you may not even have been aware of. So enough about me chatting. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Hello, everyone.
Awesome. So Ryan, just tell us a little bit about yourself so the listeners know where you're coming from, your background.
Yeah, I'm a pastor, and my wife and I, our oldest son, Luke, became very sick, had leukemia, relapsed leukemia in 2015. We went into Boston to work with a trial medication, and during that trial medication, he got meningitis, which became a very hairy, to say the least, and very dangerous situation of being treated for both leukemia and meningitis at the same time. Spent many months in the ICU. And is now home and recovering and learning to do things like run and jump and all that stuff again. So between working with our son and obviously coaching football, pastoring two congregations, life is busy, but life is good.
Absolutely. How, just so we can frame this a bit, Ryan, how different is your life now than it was just a few years ago?
Yeah. So it's extremely different. Obviously, the physical limitations that my son has created some different challenges. We don't do some of the same things that we've done in the past. We, you know, our family hikes look different. Usually we have to think about, you know, if we're going to be hiking, one of us might have to do some extra work with Luke. So some family outings are different. How we spend our time is different, but our mindset is also different. And, it's not all bad, Lynn. The adaptions that you have to make when you have a situation like this teach you a lot about yourself, a lot about what you can overcome, a lot about how you encourage others, and you learn to find beauty in places that you would have overlooked before. So before, the beauty, metaphorically and sometimes literally, the beauty would have been on the top of the mountain in a hike. Well, usually my wife or I will have to find the beauty in the gardens down below. So you learn to find that. You have to have a mindset that learns to make the most of it. And when you do that, when you focus your mind to make the most of each moment and each opportunity, it's amazing how you can find beauty in places that you've overlooked in the past.
Absolutely. So share with us a little bit, Ryan, because your book has been actually quite the huge hit. Imperfectly Perfect. You have, oh my gosh, I was actually reading a little while ago, several amazing reviews on, you know, the people that you have touched. I know people have contacted you personally, and your story has given people so much hope. And just by sharing what you have gone through, even inside, to get through what you had to get through. It's just been incredible. So share with us a bit about your book here, your story, Imperfect Perfect.
Yeah, I will. And thank you for those compliments on it. I really do appreciate it. You know, I wrote the book when Luke was first diagnosed with leukemia, and he had looked to be very successful in his treatments before we knew that he was going to relapse. And the thing I always tell people, because when they read it and they say, wow, coming out of that and then having him relapse again, you know, what did you learn from the first experience? And I the biggest thing I could stress to all the listeners is there are tips and strategies for dealing with life and dealing with life head on that I wrote about in the first Luke's first diagnosis that are in the book Imperfectly Perfect. And it's amazing how those things, those mindsets helped me get through the next phases that were to come. I didn't even know that those phases were going to come. But they're what kept me going, and I learned things about myself. A lot of what I talk about and try to work with people on comes from a belief that we learn self-defense mechanisms at a very young age. And those defense mechanisms are very similar to fight and flight responses that we have within us to protect us from pain and to protect us from hurt. And we use those same type of fight or flight responses emotionally to protect us from emotional and mental pain. And what happens is they work for a while. Again, either ignoring things and not thinking about them or obsessing them and letting them define you, right? Same idea, same fight or flight responses, just mentally, and how those work initially to help us get through times. But when they become our identity, when our identity starts to get wrapped up in either withdrawing and becoming more isolated or in trying to control everything and control every piece and every facet, what happens is these defense mechanisms that we have start to overtake our personality. They start to be transferred to other situations, other circumstances, other environments. We run to them too quickly, and we never process through in a healthy way the harder facts of life. And because of that, we never have an opportunity to learn from them. And, you know, one thing I can stress to your listeners is if you avoid problems, you won't learn from them. And if you try to control all the facets of a problem and all the facets of life, and you spend the majority of your life trying to stay in control, you won't learn from them either. Both of those extremes are bad extremes on the pendulum, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, 100% right. And that's unfortunately what many people do out there, is not dealing with their problems head on. And for you, Ryan, what did you learn? I know you've learned a lot, but what maybe one big key that you can share with the listeners, what you learned by going through what you went through, and you've been through hell and back.
Right.
You've learned a lot.
So, I've often told people that depression and anxiety, those are two things that I've heard over and over again, both in my ministry and my work with people in counseling situations. And they're two sides of the same coin, right? So there's going to be a trigger, and some personalities are going to default to anxiety and trying to put everything in its place and make sure that they're not caught off guard by anything. And to do that, they prepare for every possibility. And that's that control feature that we talk about. Some people, the same trigger might lead them to depression and might lead them to kind of either isolate themselves or tune out or to think the worst. And what that does is it prepares you for the worst because you assume the worst ahead of time. And to do that, you often miss beauty, you miss great moments of opportunity, and they all go by. And so me, my type of personality has always defaulted towards anxiety and towards being in control. And one of the things I found, to answer your question, is that when I had no more answers and I realized I had no control at all of what was happening, no matter how many ways I prepared, no matter what angles I looked and made sure this was in check and this was in check and did this doctor check on this, no matter how much I did that, I wasn't in control. And I all of a sudden went to a little bit of a state of depression, which was foreign to me because it's not my natural slant on these triggers. And I found myself kind of tucking within myself and realizing that my desire to be in control and to make sure that the world was safe robbed me of so many precious moments. And when I learned that, when he relapsed, I learned I had to make the most of whatever moments I had, not knowing, and really in many moments, even being told my son wouldn't make it. And thank God he did. But learning to be able to do wheelchair races in the hallways of the hospitals with other kids and have Oreo contests on which is the best Oreo cookie or whatever it might be, when you surrender, and that's a big, as you know from my book, that's a big piece of the book, is learning to come to that place of surrender, where instead of trying to control all the outcomes, you learn to embrace them and find beauty in them and thrive in whatever circumstance you've been handed. That only comes when you reach the end of yourself and you learn to surrender. And that's why there's a title in the book called Sweet Surrender, because it sounds like a place that's scary. You know, we don't like to give up control. We don't like to release that beyond what we can keep a handle on. But when you finally let go, there is a sweet outcome that comes. And that's, like I said before, where you begin to see beauty in places you never have before. And instead of trying to control the outcomes, you learn to embrace them, learn to thrive in them, and learn to find positives that you never would have seen. Exactly. But it really is a mental rewiring to get to that point. And you oftentimes have to come to the end of yourself to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And once you surrender, you know, the mind's natural state is truly clarity, though most people don't realize that. But you can't see clear until those muddy waters have begun to subside. But when you surrender, that's exactly what happens. Yeah. Could you share a little bit, Brian, about your story? Your coffee story with the listeners. I'm blown away by your coffee story.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a good example of surrender.
Surrender, and, exactly. That's where I'm going.
Yeah. So we had to make a decision on whether or not to have our son have a bone marrow transplant or whether to stop treatment and see you know, if Luke would make it. And we weren't given great odds that if we stopped it, you know, that he would not relapse. And I didn't know what to do because at the time my son was very, very weak. He was in the ICU. He would come out of the ICU for maybe a couple days and be rushed back in because his head was continuing to swell. And he had 9 neurosurgeries just to try to get the fluid in his cerebral fluid to flow properly. And then, you know, eventually had to have a shunt to properly drain it. But the shunt would continually clog. And he was very, very ill. And got to the point where they weren't even sure that he was going to make it because they couldn't get a handle on the flow of this cerebral fluid. It was building up. He has like cysts and blockages from scarring all in his head. So the idea of him surviving a bone marrow transplant was very heavy on our hearts. And I know oncology wanted the bone marrow transplant then and there, but some of the other ICU docs weren't sure that he would have the strength even to survive that. And I didn't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do, again, you can run to try to be in control, but I had no answers. So I just kind of looked up to God and I was like, look, I need a sign in my life. You got to have a sign that's like written in the clouds of epic proportion. It can't be this little hint here or a hint there. I did this little 2-day retreat on Martha's Vineyard just to kind of be in prayer and get my mind and my heart, my spirit right on this. And that just kept being my prayer over and over again. I need a sign. I need a sign. And so we came back. I came back to where my other two boys were, my middle child and my youngest child at home. Luke was still in the hospital. My wife was with him at the time. And I looked at my two boys and I said, you know, we should go do something. Dad's been gone for the weekend. And they said, Dad, can we try coffee for the first time? And I've never let them have coffee before. And I thought, oh, let's give this a shot. I said, you know what? I need a moment with my two boys. I need, you know, I haven't been around. I've been either at the hospital or on this little retreat, prayer retreat. So I said, let's go. You can try it for the first time, just this once. So we go into this coffee shop And I get this after we come out. I'm like, let's go visit your aunt. And that's my sister. And I said, let's just go say hi. And for some reason, I was strangely drawn to go visit my sister. And I really didn't know why at the time. I said, and I drove past her house, and it looked like nobody was home. I couldn't see any lights on. I didn't see the car in the driveway. So I circled around the dead end loop to drive away. And I stopped, and something stopped me and said, go back. So I went back. I said, let's drive back and just double check. And we walk in, all three of us, into her house, all three with our coffees, my two boys with their first coffee. And my sister is on the phone with her brother-in-law, her husband's brother. And he is in tears, just sobbing on the other end, and said, I had a dream last night, and I'm supposed to tell Ryan coffee. He will know from the word coffee that this is a sign, and that I was told to tell him cancer off everything exited, wow, which is an acronym for coffee, COFFEE. And he was saying to my sister, I know this sounds crazy. I know you must think I'm out of my mind, but it was the most real dream I've ever had in my life. And Ryan and Nikki brought Luke in. And God said, just tell him coffee. And Luke opened his mouth and coffee beans came out. And he said, he just blurted out, cancer off, everything exited. If you tell Ryan coffee, he'll know. And I'm standing there with my coffee, my two boys with coffee for the first time. And I knew right then that at that time we were not supposed to have a bone marrow transplant.
Oh my gosh.
Right after that Luke was going to be put on hospice because his lungs were shutting down from the cerebral fluid. And we were told that he wasn't going to make it. And if he had had that bone marrow transplant at that time, there's more than likely he would not have survived. He had to have major surgery, which is a risk of infection. His lungs would have been completely at risk with a bone marrow transplant at that time. So it was a sign. And that's, again, you have to be able to come to the end of yourself, relinquish control, so you can see what you're being told in life.
Exactly. I still get the goose pimples every time I hear that story. That is just, you can't make that up. But you know what? If you were trying to control life, no, you would totally miss that.
Yeah, right. You don't look for signs when you're in control. Exactly. You try to make your own signs.
Exactly.
Life doesn't work that way. And I guess that's what I would tell the listeners out there is, don't be afraid to surrender. It's painful. You have to get rid of some early defense mechanisms you've learned since childhood to survive heartache. But the rewards are to be able to see things you've never seen and hear things that maybe you would have otherwise missed.
And don't you find now, though, Ryan, surrender life is kind of automatic for you now?
Oh yeah, it's much more easy to default to, you know, as you learn to get away from certain defense mechanisms, the pushing and pulling away and all those types of things. When you learn to do that and you learn to surrender, every time you do it, it becomes easier and easier. And it's not something that enslaves you, it's something that frees you.
Exactly.
There's liberation in it.
Yeah, it's the flow of life, being in the flow of life. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow, Mike, that story is just fascinating, unbelievable. So where do you go from here now, Ryan? I know, you know, you're coaching, you're at the college right now. So yeah, where is life guiding Ryan now? Maybe working with people that are in a similar situation that you were in. Where's life taking you?
Yeah, so I have two ministries, and I spend time with people helping to, you know, obviously doing normal pastoral things. But when they come to me and to talk about where they're stuck in life, I really have a heart for trying to have people seize the day and capture the moment and live not just for the day. I don't want to say just live for the day in a cliche way, but really to seize the moments that are there and to see that not everything in life is coincidence, that sometimes things have been divinely aligned at a specific moment in a specific time, and to help them learn to trust. I think that's a big one for me, because that's what will release control, is when you learn to trust. So I spend a lot of time both in coaching. I have a role with the team here at the college where I help develop certain leadership qualities and learn what it means to live sacrificially, to live for others, and to live a life that is not afraid of the word surrender. I do that in my ministry. I do that in writing. I spend a lot of time with that. And again, not to keep harping on the point, but I think a big piece of that is learning to go back. What is my default when crisis comes, when tragedy comes, when heartache comes, when confrontation and conflict come? You know, the way people handle conflict, I think, especially in today's day and age, is a very fight or flight instinct. And it's either I'm not going to talk to you and I'm going to break this relationship, right? Or I'm going to be overbearing and try to manipulate you and control you. And you see these people just ebb and flow in their relationships between abandonment and manipulation. And so I spend a lot of time working on relationships and building trust. I think relationship building is a lost art in today's world. And we've defaulted to even to social media, which has its pluses. We're using it now, but at the same time, learning to get back to face-to-face relationships, learning to work through conflicts, learning to check ourselves and those gut reactions that we've learned over time to protect ourselves from heartache, protect ourselves from rejection. I talk a lot about the in crowd, which is insecurity, inadequacy, and inferiority, and how many times those things begin to define our identity. And if you define your identity by inferiorities and inadequacies and insecurities, you will live a life in constant reaction to your surroundings. Exactly. And that becomes very dangerous and very unhealthy in our relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh gosh, you're talking my talk. I could be on this wavelength here forever, but you're absolutely right. And you know, I'm with you. I just actually had this conversation with someone the other day, but yeah, getting back to face-to-face conversations is great. Social media is all well and fine, but face-to-face, sitting down, talking with people, developing relationships is key. Also too, many people out there, as a side note, aren't aware of being aware of, say, their trigger, so to speak, when you know, someone upsets them or whatever situation it is and how they're reacting. So yeah, you're right, when you have the ability to self-observe, you know, what you're doing, you can have the ability to change that through that level of awareness. And that's how you learn and you grow, because that's what this is all
100%.
About. Yeah.
100% agree, Lynn. And if I have time just to add a note on that, I think learning your trigger and learning your default to that trigger are big. Meaning this, we use the word insecurity, I think, wrong in our society. Insecurity, we'll talk about if somebody has low confidence in themselves. That's really more of an inferiority. And the way I describe it to people I work with is inferiority is about your state of being, who you are. I feel less than. Inadequacy is about your state of doing. Am I able? Am I competent? And insecurity is, how safe am I in relation to my surroundings? Like a boat and that's floating in waves and it's looking to tide, secure itself to something else. And so the way we talk about that, you'd be surprised, and I'm sure you actually know this from the work you do, how many times those inferiorities, inadequacies, and insecurities come from childhood trauma.
Oh, absolutely.
Come from things that have grown to define people's identity when they shouldn't be defined by those things. And that's a reprogramming that I think is really super important, so that when you're in relationships and those triggers happen, you can step back and say, this triggers my inferiority, this triggers my inadequacy or my insecurity, and learning to separate it from the hurts of the past and see it for the moment rather than lumping it into a history that's become your identity.
Right. Absolutely. And that's unfortunately why many relationships fail, is because people carry this identity with them and they don't know who they would be without that. And it's life changing when people are able to go and heal their triggers, in a sense, identify them and change them. Because once something's brought to your conscious level of awareness, you know, you have the ability to change it.
Right.
Can change your whole life. So Ryan, where could our listeners get in touch with you if somebody wanted to get a hold of you? I know your book is on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles. It's probably in some local bookstores, I would imagine.
So tell us
a little bit about where we can find the book and where people can get a hold of you.
Sure. Yeah, they can find the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, either one. Those are probably the two best, you know, mass public access there for that. Again, it's called Imperfectly Perfect, Uncovering the Hidden Hand of God. And it's about finding that in the midst of heartache and in the midst of tragedy, and learning to let the positive moments redefine you. They can email me at Ryan, R-Y-A-N at encounteringministries.com, and that's E-N-C-O-U-N-T-E-R-I-N-G EncounteringMinistries.com. So again, Ryan at EncounteringMinistries.com. And there's also a website that the people are more than welcome to go to, EncounteringMinistries.com, our website. They can check a little bit about kind of what we do and how we work with people and how we work and function in ministry and what we're trying to do. So either website, email, and certainly the book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And that would be great if people wanted to reach out. I would love to hear from them, love to hear their stories of overcoming or struggles that they need help with.
Awesome. Awesome, Ryan. Thank you so much for being here today. I know already that you've helped a lot of people just by using your voice and sharing your story, because that's what people need. So
that's
hopefully,
right.
I would bet that someone out there, several people, but at least one person needed to hear, if not more, your message today. So thank you so much for being part of this Mission Possible You. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Lynn.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Make it a habit. Live from your heart. You'll always be on the right path. Stay tuned for our next amazing podcast coming up. You've been listening to Mission Possible You with your host, Lynn McDonald. This uplifting podcast delivering inspiration directly sprinkled into your ears each week, helping you to live your best life better than you could have imagined. Connect with us on social media and please remember to subscribe.